God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he took them on a long journey through the wilderness. And many of them fell along the way. And only few people actually entered into the promised land. Many thousands of Israelites left Egypt. But how many of those who left Egypt entered into the promised land? How many?
Yes.
Two. So for many thousands who left Egypt, just two entered the promised land. So most of those who started the journey did not finish the journey. The Apostle Paul tells us that the Exodus account is a picture of our Christian walk and life today. God designed the whole process, the whole journey. To teach us lessons today which we need to learn. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. It says, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren. Our fathers were all under the cloud. And all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased. Their bodies fell in the wilderness. Now these things happened to them as an example for us. So we would not crave the same evil things that they craved. Do you understand what this is talking about? This whole Exodus journey was designed specifically by God. And he made sure it was written down in the Old Testament as an example for you and for me today of what our Christian life is supposed to look like. To give us warnings what to look out for in our Christian walk. These things happened to them as an example. And were written for our instruction. Amen.
Amen.
In verse 7 it says, do not be idolaters, as some of them were. The people sat down to eat and to drink and stood up to play. They sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. The example of the golden calf when they made a golden calf. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 people died in one day. This is a warning to us not to act immorally today, nor let us try the Lord, test him, and were destroyed by the serpents, the fiery serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Amen.
Amen.
There are many people who think they stand as Christians. They think because they are in church they are going to heaven one day. They think because they prayed to God one time they're going to heaven. They think because they started the journey they're going to finish the journey. But the Bible shows us that's not the case. Just because you start the journey does not mean you will finish the journey. Amen. There are many, many people in the church whose bodies have fallen in the wilderness. But somewhere along the line, they've fallen into sin, they've done the same things the Israelites did. But they think in their minds, I'm going to heaven, everything is wonderful. And they don't realize they will be denied entry into the promised land. Amen.
Amen.
How do you see your Christian walk? To many people they say, I pray a prayer, I go to church, and that's good, my Christianity. The Bible speaks of our faith as a journey. You start the journey, you continue the journey, you finish the journey. Everyone who starts the journey doesn't always continue the journey. And it's only if you continue the journey you will finish the journey properly. We're on a journey to a place called the Promised Land. The Kingdom of Christ. One day Jesus is going to return to this planet, this earth, and he will set up his kingdom. This is called the Promised Land, and only those who have endured during the journey will enter into that kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen.
Amen.
So it's very important we get the view that we are on a journey, we're in a race. And just because I was good in the race yesterday doesn't mean I'll be good today. Amen. So there are different stages in the journey. And every stage teaches us something about that different stage of our Christian walk as well.
So,
Amen. How they started the journey from Egypt is how we're supposed to start our Christian walk.
Amen.
What they went through first of all is what we're supposed to go through first of all. The trials and testings they went through are the things that we will go through also. What happened to them is what will happen to us. Amen. Last year in Gulu, we went through the first half of the journey. How they left Egypt, went through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And during our time for today and tomorrow, we'll be going through the next half of the journey. From the journey from the wilderness to the promised land. But just to, I think it's a good idea to recap on what we spoke about last year. Because many of you are not there. Amen. So, the very first thing that God did was that he called a man, and the man was called Moses. Our brother was just talking about him earlier. Amen. God wants to use a man to call out his people from Egypt. He wants to use you to call his people out of Egypt into the promised land. Moses was a very privileged man. He was brought up in the palace of the Egyptians, of Pharaoh. The Bible says he was powerful in speech and in wisdom. And he knew he had a calling from God. In fact, at one time he killed an Egyptian man trying to show them that he was trying to deliver the people from Egypt. But it did not happen as he expected. Instead of the Israelites being free from their slavery, he had to run from Egypt in fear of his life. And instead of being a prince in Egypt, he became a shepherd in the wilderness. How many years was he in the wilderness until God spoke to him? 40 years. Amen. So God did not speak to him for 40 years. God put him in the wilderness, in a difficult place, for 40 years. What was he doing to Moses in that time? He was breaking his pride and his arrogance and his self.
Amen.
God needs to break a man of God before he will use him properly. There are many people today who are preaching in their own strength. They come to the front in church and they are very arrogant in their own knowledge and ability. Come to me, I am the man of God, I have power. Listen to me because I can shout very loud. And it's all in their own strength. The Bible says Moses was a man powerful in word and in action. But when God spoke to him in the burning bush, did Moses say, I am powerful in word and in action? No, what did he say to God? God told him, go and speak to Pharaoh, set my people free. What did Moses say? Amen. Amen. So God took Moses from being powerful to being weak. Because until we are broken and we realize our weakness in ourselves, we will never be ready to be a man that God will use for his power. Because God will never use a man who is confident in himself. God wants you to lose your confidence in yourself so your confidence is in him. And if that takes 40 years, then it will take 40 years. There are many pastors today who are very strong and very charismatic people. They can build a big church because they have a big personality. But it's not in God's strength. And in the end, when they stand before Christ, everything that they have done will be burnt up. It will be as nothing. Because it was not done in God's strength. Amen.
Amen.
Very, very important to learn how to lean on God's strength. And God will put you into difficult situations in your life. We call that the wilderness time. It may be that you are ignored in ministry. Maybe that you are looked over and not recognized as a good, true minister of Christ. Maybe that your church never seems to grow like the person down the road, their church seems to grow. But all these things are testings for us. And how you respond to those tests is how determines whether you will walk as you will walk in God's power later in your life. Moses was wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Probably thinking in his mind, where did I miss it? Where did I go wrong? But God wanted him to be broken in the wilderness. To become a humble man. Until you learn humility, you have no right to speak in God's name. The church is full of people today who shout and scream and act as if they are very important because they're at the front. But they've never really met with God themselves. You can tell if someone has truly met with God. They have a humility. They fear God more than they fear themselves. They fear God more than they fear men. There are many preachers today preaching things people want to hear. In order to gather a crowd, they say, "See, I am a very successful preacher. God must like me because my church is big." But often, none of the people in that church are actually born again at all. Amen. Better to have 10 people in your church who are saved than 1,000 people who are not saved. Because one day as a minister you will stand before God. And you will give account for the people under your ministry. And if you have misled them to think they are born again and they were not, God will require their blood at your hand. Amen. A shepherd should know the state of his flocks. There are many people today preaching power, blessings, favor, money. Messages people like to hear. But they're not dealing with the sin in people's hearts. Because if you talk about the sin in people's hearts, people won't come to your church. But unless the light shines into the darkness will not be exposed. Amen. God is looking for ministers today to come to the burning bush. To meet with God in a true encounter in the wilderness. And to have a true encounter with the Holy One of Israel. Amen. When Moses met with God, did God just have a chat and a conversation with Moses? What did God say to him? Take your shoes off your feet. For the place on which you are standing is holy ground. God is looking for men and women today who are wandering in the wilderness but desire the true things of God. And when they meet with God, it won't be with someone shouting and screaming and praying over them. It will be meeting the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Before whom they know they are undone. Moses took his sandals off. No doubt he swallowed hard. Because he knew he was standing before the God of the whole earth. And as he approached God in the correct way, God called him to lead his people out of Egypt. Until you have had an encounter with the Holy One of Israel, you will never be ready to lead his people out of Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
God is looking for you and me today to seek him in the quiet place, in the secret place, and to find him in his holiness. God is holy and everything he does is holy. There is nothing profane in our God at all. Much of what happens in churches today is profane and it is not of God. Anything God does is characterized by holiness. And if a man is boasting of how great he is from the pulpit, that man does not know God. Because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen. So Moses was sent as a man of God to call his people out of Egypt. You are all leaders in the church in some capacity or other. You have a calling to lead the people of today out of Egypt, this world. And bring them on a journey through the wilderness into the promised land. Egypt represents this world. Pharaoh represents Satan, the god of this world. The people of this world are under Pharaoh's power. They are slaves to Satan and his demons. But most people don't realize they're slaves. If you tell them you're a slave to Satan and his demons, they'll say, "No, I'm not, I'm a free man." But they're slaves. What happened to the children of Israel? The Bible says the Israelites groaned in their slavery. And their groanings, their cries reached the God of heaven. And he heard their cry. And he was concerned for them. And he sent Moses to deliver them. What had to happen? The people had to realize they were slaves in Egypt. They had to groan in the weight of that slavery. Before their cry would be heard on high, God would deliver them. Amen. It's the same for us today. Have you ever realized you are a slave to this world and to Satan? Have you ever realized, though, that was there ever a point in your life when you said, I am a sinner, I am a helpless sinner, help me God from my slavery? You cannot come to Christ unless you realize you're a slave in Egypt first. Unless a man realizes he is a slave to his sin, he will never seek to be free from his sin. If you don't realize you're a slave, you will never want to be free from your slavery. This is why we need to preach on righteousness and holiness and the fear of the Lord. Amen. God is angry against sin, but he has a plan of salvation to free us from sin. God wants you to deliver you from Egypt. But until you realize you're a slave, you will never be ready to be released from Egypt. Today we have many evangelists going around. They say, come to Jesus, he's got a great plan for your life. Come to Jesus, he loves you. Come to Jesus, he'll give you power. So why are the people coming to Jesus? Are they coming because they realize they are slaves to their sin? Or are they coming to get something from God? If someone is coming to Jesus to get power, to feel good, is that person really going to be saved? No. Until you groan in your slavery in Egypt, you are not ready to be born again properly. God will only deliver those who realize they are slaves in Egypt. Amen. That's why we need to preach righteousness, holiness, and the fear of the Lord today. Amen. Then the Israelites had to keep a feast when they left Egypt. Do you remember what that feast was? What do we call that night when they left Egypt?
Passover.
When the destroying angel passed over their dwelling places. The feast of the Passover is also called the feast of unleavened bread. They had to remove the leaven from their households. God said, if there is any leaven found in your house, that person must be cut off from Israel. Amen. Leaven represents sin and the pride of man. In order to come to Christ, we need to lay our sins down. Turn our back on our old life. Father God, I am removing the leaven from my life. I am turning my back on my old life. I was a drunkard and a wife beater and an adulterer. I admit I am a slave in Egypt. But I am removing the leaven from my life. I repent of my sins. And I'm going forward in the new life in Christ. This is how to truly get saved. Amen. That is how a person leaves Egypt. You keep the feast of the unleavened bread. Not by removing real leaven from your house, but removing the sin from your life. And when the destroying angel was outside, the children of Israel were supposed to stay indoors with the blood of the Passover lamb on the lintels and the doorposts. And what were they to do? They were to feed on the Passover lamb. Have you fed on Christ? Christ is our Passover lamb. Some people say, I'm a slavery in sin and I'm a slave in Egypt. Free me, Lord. But they never put their faith in Jesus Christ to deliver them. We need to get to that point where we are slaves and then we see the light in Christ and we receive Christ. And faith enters into our hearts and we begin to feed on the Passover lamb. It's not enough for someone to realize they're a slave in Egypt. We need to feed on the Passover lamb also. Find Christ and know the love of Christ in our hearts. Amen. So this was the beginning of the journey. The children of Israel left Egypt. And where did they go first place? Where was the first place they went to?
Bible test.
Ramses?
Not quite, but the first major place they went to after Egypt. Red Sea. They went to the Red Sea. God took them to the Red Sea. What does the Red Sea represent? Our baptism experience. We go through the waters. The Bible says the Israelites were baptized into Moses.
through the Red Sea. And so as the Israelites were baptized, we also need to be baptized. It's the first thing we do when we get saved. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Have you been baptized? To be baptized is the work of faith. It is the public confession of Christ to a dying world. We go through the waters because we are showing we have died to our old life and we are in the new life in Christ now. We don't get baptized to join a church. We get baptized to show we are dying to our old life and living for Christ from now on.
Amen.
When the Israelites stood in front of the Red Sea, God told them, go forward. But we cannot. Pharaoh and his army are behind us. The sea is in front of us. It is certain death to go in those waters. But God did a miracle and parted the waters. So the Israelites were able to enter into a place of death but come out alive the other side. Amen.
Amen.
What happened to Pharaoh and his armies? All drowned. Satan and his demons cannot go through the waters of baptism. Amen. There is true deliverance in true baptism. When a person is saying, I am dying to my old life, I am living for Christ, baptize me. Pharaoh and his armies will be hurled into the sea. Not one of them remained. Amen. The apostle said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. If the Israelites had stayed on the banks of the Red Sea and said, I don't want to go through the Red Sea, it's dangerous, would they have ever entered into the Promised Land? No. But God's command was to go through the waters. That's how you start the journey. Amen. And God says the same thing to us today. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. As a public declaration of your faith.
Amen.
So the children of Israel left Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. How did they know where to go after that? What guided them? What led them?
Yes. Pillar of the clouds.
Yes.
And then pillar of fire.
Amen. Pillar of cloud and pillar of fire by night. Do we have a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire today outside?
One more.
No. But we have a spiritual pillar of cloud and pillar of fire today. The pillar of fire and pillar of cloud were fire and water. A cloud is made of water. God led the Israelites by fire and by water. And he leads us in the same way today. Not a physical fire and a physical water, but a spiritual fire and a spiritual water that you sense in your soul as you read the Word of God, and its words start to burn in your heart like a fire. And his words start to wash you with clean water from above. Amen. This is God's leading for us today. This is the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud leading you today. The Bible calls it the washing of water with the Word. Have you ever spent a long time reading the Word of God? And when you finish, you feel clean and washed on the inside. Have you experienced this? What God is speaking to you at that point through His Word is your leading from God. You don't need a man to say, I'm a prophet, I'm going to tell you what you should do. God will lead you by His Spirit through His Word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That means a burning lamp, a burning torch. One thing about fire is that it gives light. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Are you following the light that God shows you through His Word? Amen. Have you ever felt the Word of God burning in your heart? I remember experiences in my life where I spent a few hours reading the Word of God and receiving the revelation of Christ from the Word. I remember getting up from my chair and feeling like I was on fire inside. Have you ever experienced that? Amen. God is no respecter of persons. He can do the same to you as He's done for me. On the road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. Two disciples were walking. And they were downcast and discouraged. And what Jesus came and walked with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. And they spoke with him about the things that were troubling them. Jesus said, "How slow of heart you are." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he opened the scriptures and gave them understanding of the scriptures to them. Then later Jesus broke bread in front of them and he disappeared from their sight. What did the disciples say to one another? Were not our hearts burning within us? As he opened up the scriptures, as he was speaking to us along the road, that was the pillar of fire guiding them in the wilderness, guiding them through the night time of their discouragement and depression, showing that this is the way walk ye in it. Have you ever had the scriptures open up to you? That the fire of God's word imparts into your heart. Amen.
Amen.
We can have the same today. It's not a physical fire and a physical water. But it's something God does by His Spirit in your heart through His Word. If the children of Israel had said, the pillar of fire is going ahead, but I quite like it here. I'm going to stay here. Would they ever made it to the promised land? No. The Bible says all who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Are you being led by the fire and the water? Are you being led by the Spirit of God? Amen. So after the Red Sea, where did the pillar of cloud lead the children of Israel? The first place. Anyone know? Wilderness, yes. Specific place in the wilderness. Before Sinai. No. Specific place, 3 days after the Red Sea. It's a Bible first. Close. One before.
Excellent.
10 out of 10. So the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud led them to Marah. Why Marah? What was special about Marah? Anybody remember? No. What was wrong with the waters of Marah? Bitter waters.
Yes.
What is one of the first things God will do in your life as a new believer?
Oh,
He will deal with the bitter waters in your heart. Amen.
Amen.
God cannot do any work in a man's life if he has bitterness in his heart. You will not walk in God's forgiveness if you have bitterness against somebody else. And you need to learn the art of forgiveness. Right at the beginning of your Christian walk, before God can take you to Elim and to the place of
beyond.
Many people don't get to Elim. Elim, there were 12 springs, living water. 70 date palms. A place of great fruitfulness. But many get camped at Mara. And they stay at Mara because they're unwilling to forgive their brother. Unwilling to let those resentments against people who mistreated them go. Amen. Jesus said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Amen. What if we don't forgive? Jesus said, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you also. If you do not have peace, the peace of God in your heart, if you're sitting here today and you do not have that peace that passes all understanding in your heart and mind, could it be because you have bitterness, secret bitterness in your heart? The Bible says, see that no one comes short of the grace of God. That no root of bitterness springs up. That causes trouble and by it many are defiled. How are the waters in your heart? Are they sweet? Or are they bitter? When people are around you, do people enjoy your conversation? Or are you always speaking negatively about other people? You know that woman, she's done this and she's done that, and ooh, look at her. How is your heart? Do you have bitterness against a brother or a sister? If you have bitterness in your heart, you need to get the waters made sweet. And God will not take you anywhere further on the journey until you've passed Mara. You can think of anyone in your mind and think negatively against that person. Or every time you see a specific person in church, you think, I don't want to like that person. Maybe that you have an issue with unforgiveness against that person. And you need to learn to forgive. Your flesh will say, I want to hold on to my resentments and unforgiveness. But the way of faith says, lay it down and forgive them. How did the bitter water become sweet? Does anybody remember?
Praying to God.
He did pray to God, but something happened. God showed him something.
You beat the water with a stick. Are they down? You know, give them. Yes, you have the answer. Anything you go wrong?
I think he moved some salt.
No, this was Elisha.
More Elijah.
Different. Close.
Hey, how come you got that gun? He breaks the tree branch and throws it in the water.
God showed him a tree. And when Moses cast the tree into the waters became sweet. What does the tree represent? Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The cross of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus was hung upon the tree. He became a curse for us. That our bitter waters may be made sweet. Amen.
Amen.
Has the cross entered into your heart? The tree had to be thrown into the waters. It wasn't good enough to shake the tree at the waters. It had to enter into the waters. Has the cross of Jesus Christ entered into your heart? That means the crucified life becomes your life. That means you're no longer living for yourself, you're living for God and for His people. Has the cross entered into your heart? When Jesus was on the cross, nailed to that tree, he had grounds to have resentment and bitterness against the people who crucified him. He could have destroyed them all as they mocked him. He said, could I not at once call down 12 legions of angels? But when he was hanging on that cross, and the wicked men were railing and mocking him, did he say, God curse them? What did he say? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. When your enemy hates you and mocks you and makes lies about you behind your back, what do you do? Do you curse them? God, strike them down and make everything fail in their life. These are the bitter water staying bitter. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That woman took my husband. Every time I see her, she's looking down at me. I hate her. Father, forgive her.
For she knows not what she does. Amen. Has the tree entered into the waters of your heart?
Amen.
Many of us have bitterness in our hearts. And that bitterness defiles us and defiles everybody around us. Marah was the first place after the Red Sea God took the children of Israel. Because he wants you to deal with the bitter waters of your heart first. Early times in my Christian life, I just got born again at age 16. And I had a hatred towards my father. Because I felt my father had not loved me and not treated me well. And God spoke to me and said, I need to deal with that unforgiveness. I said, well, he's done this, and he's done this, and he's done this. It's not fair. And often things are not fair. But you still have to do the right thing. Amen. And with tears in my eyes, I said, Lord, I forgive him. And I was released from this bitterness. And God put a great love in my heart for my father. Now I have a great relationship with my father. Because God put the tree into the waters and the waters were made sweet. Amen. This is the lesson of Marah. The cross needs to come into your heart. Lay down your pride, your arrogance, your unforgiveness. Instead, be tender-hearted towards one another and love one another. Amen. Do not pitch your tent at Marah. Go on from Marah to Elim with the 12 springs. Amen. And lastly, what did the children of Israel eat and drink during their time in the wilderness? What did they eat? Manna. Okay. What else did they eat? Quail. What does the manna represent? Amen. Jesus Christ said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. How do we feed on the manna today? By feeding on his word. Not just reading his word, feeding on his word. There is a difference between reading the word and feeding upon the word. Amen. The manna tasted of the juices of oil and the sweetness of honey. Amen. When you read the word of God, how does it taste to you? Of the juices of oil and the sweetness of honey.
Does the Bible taste sweet to you? Or is it just like dry bread? The Bible calls it living bread. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man feeds upon me, he shall never die. Amen. Are you seeing Jesus in the Word? As you read the Word, are you receiving the revelation of Christ through the Word? This means you take time and you try to understand the Word. To feed on the words of Christ. And apply His words to your life. But there came a time in the children of Israel's life when they said, we don't want manna anymore. Give me something new. I hate this loathsome food. Give me something new. This is like people in the church today who say, I'm bored with the old message of the cross. I'm tired of hearing the old gospel message. Feed me something new, Pastor. That pastor down the road, he gives some real good food. He has power, signs and wonders. If you want something new, God will give you something new. But it won't be manna. It will be quail. What happened to those who ate the quail? Many died. How did the quail come to the people? It was the south winds and the east winds. The south wind promises something good, but the east wind brings the curse of God. The quail seems to promise something good, but in the end it will be the curse of God to you. When people say, I'm bored of the old gospel message, why do you keep talking about sin and the crucified life? I want to hear about power, signs and wonders and blessings. Give me something new, Pastor. They go to another person's church. And they start feeding on the quail. They start stuffing their faces with quail. They think, this is wonderful. I'm a powerful man of God. I see signs and wonders every day. But when you taste the quail, it will bring the curse of God to your life. Amen. I want to read a verse from 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Because they did not receive the manna. For this reason, God is sending upon them a deluding influence. That they will believe that which is false. That all may be judged who did not believe the truth. But took pleasure in wickedness. If you don't love the truth, if you don't love the manna, if you despise the manna, give me something new. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. He will send upon them the quail, that they may feed on the quail, in order that they may be judged. Don't eat the quail. Amen.
Amen.
There are whole churches and ministries today who preach quail. And usually they are the biggest churches you can go to. Because they preach popular messages that make people feel good about themselves. Jesus does not want you to feel good about yourself. He wants you to come under conviction of the Holy Spirit. That you kneel down at his feet and receive his lordship.
Amen.
The east and the south winds are blowing. There is quail falling all around the camp of God's people. Are you going to eat it? It's available. There are many, many churches in this country who are teaching quail. Some of the biggest churches in this country. They are ministers of quail, not ministers of manna. The quail is falling all around the camp of God's people. If you want, you can go and eat some. But it will cost you your life. It will cost you your eternal soul. Those who ate the quail did not enter into the promised land. Amen. Only those who fed on the manna enter the promised land. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. You have the word of God yourself. Feast and feed yourself upon the manna. Amen.
Amen.
So how did the children of Israel ate spiritual food, but they also drank spiritual drink? What drink did the children of Israel drink in the wilderness? Did they go to the fridge and get a Pepsi? Drank from the rock.
Amen.
What was the rock? The Bible says the rock was Christ. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And the rock was Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is a firm foundation. But in order for the living waters to flow from that rock, what had to happen to that rock? And remember? The rock had to be struck with the staff of God. Christ our rock was struck on the tree of Calvary. And because the rock of our salvation was struck on the cross, the living waters of Pentecost were able to be poured out upon the church. The rock was struck with the staff of Moses and the staff of God. It was called the staff of Moses and the staff of God. When Jesus was struck on the cross, he was struck by the hand of man, but he was also struck with the hand of God. And God poured all of his wrath and righteous anger upon his Son in order that you may not experience that wrath and anger today. He tasted the bitterness of death and the wrath of God himself. In order that you and I may experience salvation and rest and peace in Christ. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Are you thirsty? If you're not thirsty, you won't want to drink. It's only those who realize they are thirsty who desire to drink the spiritual waters. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Where did the waters come from? The split in the rock. Come to the waters. Enter into the cleft of the rock. Enter into the sufferings of Christ. And you shall receive the living waters from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Many people today say, "Come to me, I'll pray for you, and you receive the waters." They say, "Pray for me, pray for me." They fall on the floor and they get up and they feel this exactly the same because they didn't come to the waters. They went to a man, not to Christ. Come to the waters. Enter into the cleft of the rock. Enter into the sufferings of Christ himself. And the living waters shall be poured out upon you. Amen. Amen. The children of Israel are thirsty again. They cried out to Moses and God, give us water. What did God tell Moses the second time? Did he say, strike the rock a second time? What did he say? Speak. Speak to that rock. If Christ was struck once, is he to be struck a second time? The rock was struck one time. Jesus Christ is not to be crucified over and over and over again. The death he died was once for all. He paid the price for an eternal redemption. Everything we need for life and godliness is in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that one time. Jesus Christ does not need to be crucified again and again and again. But if you strike the rock a second time, what's going to happen to you? What happened to Moses? He was denied entry into the promised land. Striking the rock a second time, he's saying that what Jesus did on the cross was not sufficient for me. I need to do something myself. Everything God does, he does by grace. It's all a free gift. You cannot make God do anything. You cannot pay for God's miracles. When a person comes to your church, said, if you give 100,000 shillings, I'll pray for you and you'll get your breakthrough. What is that? Striking the rock a second time. Amen. If you try and buy the gift of God with money, you're trying to strike the rock a second time. How much money do you have? You have 200,000? Ooh, you'll get healing as well. $250,000, I'll pray for you in private. Is this the grace of God? No. This is striking the rock a second time. Remember Simon, he saw the apostles placing their hands upon people and they received the Holy Spirit. And he says, give me this power, son. Here's some money. What did Peter say to him? Did he say, come into my office, we will discuss it in private? How much do you have? He said, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. If you try and buy the gifts of God with money, you will not receive your gift. Because you only receive by faith, by grace and by faith. Now, if God tells you to give something by faith, that's a different matter. If God tells you, gives a certain amount, or do, or pray a certain time, this is work, the work of faith. But when you try to buy the gifts of God with money, this is striking the rock a second
time.
Amen. There is a difference between striking the rock the first time and striking the rock the second time. If you're trying to force God to do something for you, He will not do it. Amen. So the children of Israel drank the spiritual waters. And it satisfied the whole congregation of Israel in the wilderness. God wants us to be eating the manna and drinking the living waters from heaven. He wants us to be led by the fire and the water of His word. He wants us to come to Marah and to go on from Marah to Elim. To learn to forgive those who have wronged us. He wants us to leave Egypt properly. Realizing we are slaves in Egypt. Helpless without Christ. And remove the leaven from our lives. Repent from our sins. Feed on the Passover lamb. And go through the waters of baptism. We're on a journey out of Egypt to the promised land. We're part of the way there. But there's a long way to go yet. And we'll deal with that in session 2.
Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray.